It really is frustrating online when you see people talk about like, you don't need a detox. You have poop and pee for that. It's like you are missing a huge part of this whole equation.
And these toxins and chemicals that are around us and now inside of us, they can disrupt that whole system. So it's hard to get pregnant. They can disrupt the system affecting your ability to stay pregnant. And they can disrupt the development of your baby. Scream from the top of your lungs. Tell everybody that you know who wants a baby soon or someday, you're the best person for this. Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. Today, we're talking all about detoxing before pregnancy, what it means to actually detox, the different components. I use all of my amazing analogies to explain and really break it down, share some tips on what to do, the timeline of what you and your partner should be doing, as well as detoxing mental, emotional things, because it's not all physical. This is an amazing episode. It's basically like an entire course on detoxing, and I hope that you love it.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about detoxification before getting pregnant, which is not something everybody needs to do, but a lot of people wish and want to, or it's part of their preconception plan for themselves or for their partner. And I mean, honestly, I used to kind of think, oh, I'm not that toxic. Like, I don't really need to detox. I didn't have overburdened toxin bucket symptoms. But when I did a detoxification protocol, it was that cell core cleanse in the fall of 2022. I'll never forget it. And it completely changed my life. Like, it really did change everything for me, because I thought, you know, well, my weakest system is in my immune system. But I think that it was overburdened by things that needed to get out. And so when I took the time to intentionally, with practices and supplements and things that you're going to be talking about today, do that with my body, I really, really noticed a huge change. And so this is legitimate. It really is frustrating online when you see people talk about like, you don't need a detox. you have poop and pee for that. And it's like, well, yeah, we do. You're right. You are not wrong, but you are missing a huge part of this whole equation. And so I know that you're going to tell us everything about that, Dr. Leah. So why don't we just go ahead and jump in?
Yeah. So first off, I just want to kind of give some background. When we talk about detox, what happens in the body is that we make toxins internally. Toxins are just the blanket statement that we're going to use for things that are not serving us, right? They're not helping us. They are not a agent of benefit anymore or ever. Like, that's a toxin, right? So it's a very blanket statement, because toxins can be things that our body makes. You know, we make carbon dioxide and we have to exhale it. We have to get it out. We make ammonia and we have to pee it out. Whether we lived in a vacuum and never had any exposure to chemicals that were man-made, we would still have things that we would have to detox and get out of our body. The technical term for that is biotransformation. That's the act of our body packaging up and getting rid of the things in our body that are no longer serving us. We call it detox. It's not technically correct, but it's just easier to say that than biotransformation. So we're just going to go with that. And so that's what toxins are. There are also toxins that come from our external environment. So we have internal toxins and we have external toxins. And toxins that come from our external environment are very numerous. They can be things like metals. Metals are not man-made necessarily. Things like mercury and lead, and these metals are often found in nature, so they're quote unquote natural, but maybe shouldn't be in high amounts in our bodies. And we get them not only doing synthetic things, like they can come from just eating plants. You know, there are metals in the soil from the plants that we eat. There can be metals in the fishes that we eat from the sea. There can be things that we have probably been exposed to since the beginning of time, right? But then there's a lot of new chemicals and new toxins that we as humans have made. We have made them out of thin air. We have synthesized them in a lab, like plastic. You know, plastic is derived from oil, but we use it in all these different ways, and it breaks down and gets into our body. We create chemicals like herbicides and pesticides to kill bugs and plants in our farming processes, and those chemicals get into our system. We have all sorts of different things that we have created for our personal product industry, for our food industry, for our just industrial industry, things that are byproducts of stuff that we make. We make tires, we make cars, we make all of this stuff, and they produce chemicals, and so they go into the world. And so, unfortunately, we as human beings are living in an environment where we still have the internal stuff that we've always had to get out of our body since the beginning of time. But we also have all of these external things that are added into the mix, and there is much more than there has ever been in the history of ever, and it's becoming an issue. And so why does this matter? So when we are talking about pregnancy, a lot of these chemicals are what are called endocrine disruptors, and that means that they disrupt our hormonal system. Hormones are sort of the messengers that kind of run the show inside of our bodies, and they're absolutely essential for us to become pregnant. Not only does the ovulation system have to be working really well for us to, you know, ovulate and become pregnant, but they have to be working well to keep a pregnancy. It has to be working well to grow a fetus and for that baby who's growing inside of us to reproduce normally. And these toxins and chemicals that are around us and now inside of us disrupt a lot of that. They can disrupt that whole system, so it's hard to get pregnant. They can disrupt the system affecting your ability to stay pregnant, and they can disrupt the development of your baby. So I don't say this to scare you, but to just bring urgency or awareness to the fact that toxins are important and they matter, and our body is designed to get rid of stuff. It's just when we talk about detoxing, we really have to talk about the bucket. I use the sink analogy personally. So when we talk about health in general, not even pregnancy, but just health in general, we are finding now that a lot of disease, especially chronic disease, can be rooted back to our body's overflowing toxin sink or overflowing bucket. There's actually a really great book by one of the naturopathic doctors that is, we would call him an elder, which sounds so weird. I don't know if they like being called that. Dr. Joe Pizzorno wrote a book called The Toxin Solution. And he has a lot of the research and the studies and the data and the evidence. If you're like, what are you talking about? I need to like see the data. He really compiled it and did a really great job if you guys want to read that book. But basically, when we think of the analogy, imagine the toxins that are being made in our body and coming in from our outside world, the toxins that are already in our body that we were exposed to maybe as kids or young adults that have stayed in our system or things we're currently being exposed to. That's the faucet, right? The water is coming in. Those are the toxins coming into the sink. And then we have a drain, and the drain is how the toxins get out. That is our pooping, our peeing, our breathing, to some degree our liver, but we'll talk about that, our sweating. These are the organs of elimination. That's what we call them. They help us to eliminate stuff, and that is the drain in the sink. So just like any sink, if you have a clogged drain and your organs of elimination are not working well and that clog is there, eventually your sink is going to overflow, whether you have a slow drip on that faucet or a gushing drip. It's just how soon does it happen? You know, if you are being exposed to tons of toxins, you have fragrance laundry detergent, you're spraying yourself with perfume and cologne every day, you're, you know, lathering yourself with all sorts of potions and chemicals, and you have Fabulosa cleaning products all around you, which is like my personal vendetta. I like hate Fabulosa. Oh my God, with a vengeance. You know, or maybe you golf and you're exposed to lots of herbicides and pesticides, or you live by a farm, or you eat non-organic food. All of these things. It is like you're having the sink on full blast, right? And for some people, they do have the sink on full blast, but they have a really great drain. So there is no evidence of overflow. There are no symptoms. There are no issues, because for how much they're being exposed, they're also able to get rid of it. And for some people, you'll be like, I literally don't do any of that. I eat organic. I use all clean products. I am never around anything. And I still have issues, you know, either getting pregnant or not feeling good. And that's because most likely either genetically and or epigenetically or environmentally, you probably have a harder time clearing your drain.
I think that is really important for people to understand, because they'll look at certain people like their grandma or even just a friend who lives like a just extremely indulgent, unconscious life. Or, you know, my grandma lived to be 98, and for the last like 8 years of her life, all she ate was dessert. She would not eat any other normal food. she was so just vital and strong and, you know, like whatever. She had great genetics. My dad has been a type 1 diabetic for so long. His brother was a type 1 diabetic for like 70 years. And they just have very good, strong constitutions and genetics, and had very, very little long-term sequelae, you know, any of the end organ damage wasn't happening to them. Then there are people who, yeah, if you didn't live a perfect lifestyle every single day, you would be in misery. And I think that the genetic component of this is really, really important to understand and like give a lot of the weight. Now, we don't necessarily know unless you test, but it can take the shame out of it too. It's like, it's not your fault the way that sometimes your body acts to certain things, or if you have some kind of medical thing going on, it's not necessarily because of what you did or didn't do. It could just be your body living in this modern day in society is going to have a harder time. And it just isn't something that we need to be giving ourselves a lot of stress about. We do the best that we can, but don't make yourself wrong for it, I guess is what I'm to say.
I love that. And a lot of it is epigenetics. And epigenetics is how genes were expressed based on exposures, not to bring in shame, but just it can be confusing to be like, yeah, why is my grandma so healthy, yet I share her genetics and I struggle with all of these things? And a lot of it could be epigenetics. You know, maybe there is some truth to all of us millennials being vaccinated up the wazoo, and that was very different than our, you know, parents or grandparents. Or it could be exposure to certain things at certain times in our development that could have turned things on or off. And so not that there's like a blame there, but just a lot of detoxing does come down to how well your body can do things, but there's so much that you can do. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So basically, before pregnancy, the goal is to just open up your organs of elimination, support them as much as you can, support your liver, which the liver is sort of the processor. Inside of Womanhood Wellness, I have courses on everything, and you guys know I love analogies. I just love it. And I just can't help it.
Well, we love that you love it too, because I think that it really helps. Sometimes we, as, you know, medical professionals, can kind of assume that everybody understands what exactly we're talking about and the way that we're talking about it. And I think that it helps to be like, I want everybody to understand the way that we think about it. And so the way that you and I learned too was from making analogies for ourselves. So it's like it breaks it down into a much more easy to understand and visualize way, so that the root cause why of what we're talking about is important lands and actually means something. So I love your analogies. Please never stop.
Well, they're not stopping. There's quite a few for this topic. So first of all, so basically we're talking about three main things. We're talking about the toxin input, the faucet coming in, the ability to get those toxins out, the organs of elimination, which is pooping, peeing, sweating, breathing for the most part. And then we're going to talk about the liver, which is the processor and the packager. And the analogy that I have for that is, imagine that you're a knife factory and you make knives. Well, you're not going to just like throw a bunch of knives in a truck and go like throw them at people's houses. Like, that's very dangerous, right? You have to package them. You have to put them in a safe place. You have to put them in a box, probably, and then another box. And that box is a packaged version of that knife that you can ship to somebody's house safely. The liver is basically doing that. It's taking things that are toxic, that are harmful, and packaging them up, and putting like a container around them, if you want to think about that way. I mean, that's not exactly what's happening. They're attaching molecules and stuff, but it makes them basically safe to then put into the organs of elimination and to get rid of them, and or makes them able to. So the other analogy that I use is the poop and pee train tickets. Okay. So you have to have it. You have to have a ticket for the poop train. You literally cannot get on the train without a ticket. That's another purpose of the liver. The liver packages up the knives at the box and gives it the ticket to get on the train. If there is no ticket, you are not getting on the train. And what that means in medical terms is oftentimes we are making things that go into fat, things that are what we call lipophilic, they like fat, making them water soluble so that they can go into water. Because if you've ever seen oil and water together, you see that they separate. And most of our organs of elimination use water to get rid of things like pee or sweat. And even sometimes in feces, we can secrete some things in fat in feces. But for the most part, essentially the liver is just changing whatever the toxin is so that it can actually be eliminated is what it is on the basic level. So whenever people talk about detoxing, it's kind of like, okay, well, which part are you talking about? Are you trying to reduce the exposure to toxins? Are you trying to support the organs of elimination? Are you trying to open the drain? Or are you trying to support that processing and ticket producing structure of the liver? Because toxins and detox and liver support and all that is thrown around a lot. And I think it can be very confusing to people because they're like, what is even happening? And oh, if I just take milk thistle, does that mean I'm not going to be toxic anymore? And it's like, no, because if you're not pooping and you're not peeing and you're not, if the poop train is not running, it is stuck and you're giving a bunch of people tickets with milk thistle, if you have all of these tickets for your toxins, but you are not pooping and peeing, you are literally just having a mosh pit outside of your poop train and no one's leaving. So it's, yes, like things like milk thistle and stuff can help, and we'll talk about herbs in a minute. But you have to do it all, and the order that you do it is kind of important, and it gets even more complicated when it's before pregnancy. So did you have anything you want to say? I think you...
No, I love it. I think that it's really... It's so funny. We should... You know what I wish so badly is, and maybe AI will make this easier in the future, is that, like, you know, when you see those really cool YouTube videos and they're drawn, they're like a... Somebody's using like an erase marker. Yes. I wish it was so much easier to get one
it
of those
probably
made.
It is. 100% there's an AI that does it at this point now. I mean, I should probably go back and redo all of my courses because I have slides. Like, I would literally hand make slides, you guys. I built my entire educational system before AI. Like, I did quizzes all by myself, and like every slide was like handmade, and then I would record it. Gosh, the amount of time. But now it would be so great to go back and make like caricature type videos to go along with it, because so much of my teaching.
Just to explain it, yeah, because I think so many people need the visual to understand, and it's so helpful. So anyway, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So when we talk about detoxing before pregnancy, if you aren't trying to get pregnant, the sky's the limit. Do whatever you want. It's like you have so much freedom. If being pregnant is on your mind, whether for the first time or a subsequent time, you really need to think about this, because we don't want to be actively pushing toxins all around when you could be pregnant. So the first thing I want to say is, like, we don't want to ever be doing active detox pushing when your ovulation onward, if you are in a cycle of trying to conceive. So like once you have tried, like you've ovulated and you're waiting in that 2-week waiting time of to see if you're going to be pregnant or not, you do not ever want to be taking things that are going to push detox. That does not.
Okay. Wait, question though about that, because what about like a hot bath that you're where you're in a sweat, like doing something like that in the 2-week wait, you would say no? Shoot. No, I've always told people, I think it's totally fine until you get a positive.
No.
Really?
Nope. No heat. Nope. Go back. Write them all back.
Okay, because of implantation and...
Because of implantation and the embryo is so little and the heat. I mean, like a fever alone or a hot experience.
Yeah, you're right.
To prevent embryo implanting, the development of the embryo. So basically...
Okay, so no sauna even.
No sauna.
Then.
And, nope,
and what about like... you know, maybe if somebody was taking glutathione or NAC, they'd stop that in the 2-week wait.
Yep.
See, but
yep.
Gosh, that's, if you're trying cycle after cycle, you're only able to take some of those things in 2 weeks out of the cycle.
Yes. It's so frustrating. Welcome to my
gosh.
World. It's so hard.
That's hardcore.
This is why scream from the top of your lungs, tell everybody that you know who wants a baby soon or someday, you know, like, oh, my sister, she's engaged, she's getting married. Amazing. Send this to her. Like, she's the best person for this. Like, or, you know, I had a baby, I'm a year postpartum, but we're going to wait for 2 or 3 years to have another baby. Amazing. Like, you're the best person for this. It, obviously, if you find this and you're like, oh no, but we're currently trying, there are still things you can do. And I will walk you through that. But it's a very annoying process when you're trying to redo the microbiome, kill parasites, detox, any of that stuff while actively trying to conceive. It's not the best. Like, the best situation is to either pause or not start yet.
Okay, I totally do see that. Like, you're not going to be taking biocided up until the moment that you have a positive pregnancy test. Yeah. What about something like taking stress support, adrenals, up until you get?
Adrenal support I am okay with up until positive pregnancy test, because those kind of herbs like shatavari or, you know, any of that stuff, I'm fine with. I don't continue it during pregnancy, but I am okay up to. It's things where, for example, if you're taking something like glutathione that we'll get into, that's pulling more toxins out of your tissues and into the system, we don't want to be flooding that embryo with extra toxins. You're always going to kind of have some around, but you don't want to do an active push during that time. So, and then the heat is the problem with the bath and the sauna. We just don't want heat around that early embryo. There's so much fragility and just that whole process. So it's less than
I will say, if you've already done it, you're probably totally fine.
Yes, but totally. I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time. There are places on the earth that are hotter than most people's saunas, you know, and they have babies. You know, it's not like you can't ever be in heat. I mean, if you're, you know, in 120 degree or 110 degree weather in a really hot desert or place, like, people are still getting pregnant. It's not that you can't ever get pregnant. It's just, if you're gonna have the choice and control for that variable, I think it is wise.
Yeah, maybe you just don't like do it if you're aware of it, but yeah. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Exactly. And now a quick word from our sponsor. We've partnered with Needed to bring you this episode. Stress is something that many people can experience along the fertility journey, and it's something that influences how they handle oxidative damage. That's why supporting overall cellular health can be super valuable at any stage along the fertility journey. One product I personally love recommending is Needed's Egg Quality Support. I helped contribute to formulating this product, but even if I hadn't, I would still be confident recommending it because it's so great. It's designed to provide antioxidant and mitochondrial support with ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, ALA, and PQQ. I also love pairing it with Needed's comprehensive prenatal and their CoQ10 for a comprehensive approach. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Okay, back to the show. So with that being said, in an ideal situation, we are doing this at least 3 to 6 months before you're starting to try. That is ideal. And I know I've been through the whole journey of wanting to conceive and wanting it yesterday. But if you do have any wiggle room in your timeline to pause or push back a little bit, I do think it's worth your time to at least make sure the foundations are in place and working well before you get pregnant, because it's just, everything is compounded during pregnancy. This does not mean that you have to have every toxin out of your body before you get pregnant, because that is, I'm going to just burst your bubble right now, impossible and absolutely not the goal, like, at all. So you will always have toxins in your life. Accept that now. Your body is designed to handle them. Know that that's amazing. And that is not the goal. The goal, just like the sink analogy, is not to have a dry sink. There will always be water in your sink. Always. That is never, ever, ever changing. The goal is to get to the point where your sink is not overflowing. If it is overflowing, you most likely have symptoms. That could be PCOS or signs of estrogen dominance or acne or headaches or migraines or blood sugar issues, or you're struggling with fertility on the boy or the girl side. Like, men whose toxin overflow is flowing can affect sperm in a big way, especially morphology and motility. If you guys have partners with sperm that are struggling in those two departments, very much look at toxins. But it can definitely impact fertility. So if you just want to take a break, that's ideal, and work on this. So with that caveat, knowing that this isn't, we're actively in the trying to conceive time, what we want to do first and foremost when it comes to detox is open up those organs of elimination. if you are shipping knives out on the poop train, you do not want to increase production of knives and ship to the train station if the trains are not working. Like, the first thing we need to do is make sure that the trains are working well and consistently and predictably before we start, you know, bringing the knife delivery to them. So with that being said, pooping every day is an absolute essential part of detoxing. And I remember I was on the Alex Clark podcast. It's now the Cultural Apothecary, but it was Spillover back in the day. And, you know, I didn't know her very well at the time. And I told her that. And she was like, no. Like, this is before she was into health. She's like, I poop like once every other week. And
I'm like, Oh no.
Like, but that is for some people their reality. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and that's you and you thought that was normal, it is not. And that
it is not.
Of all the things that you do, if you can get yourself pooping at least once a day is essential, and especially before pregnancy, because that to me is a clear symptom that your body is talking to you saying something is not right. Because you should be eliminating at least once a day. Twice a day would be ideal, but at least once a day is what I aim for. And you don't need to wig out if you're not pooping more than once a day. You know, at least once a day, that should be the goal.
And like a good poop, like a good,
yes,
you know, not just like little small amount, like a good amount.
Yep, a good amount of poop. So that's first and foremost. And like, how do you do that? Again, we could have a whole podcast on that, but making sure you're getting enough water. It sounds so basic. People hate basic shit, but it's like basic, basic stuff is
impactful.
It's what health is basically just a bunch of basic stuff put together every day.
Yeah, you just have to be consistent.
Yeah, that's what health is. So making sure you're drinking enough water is key and essential. Enough fiber. If you are getting really excited about fiber and you're like, I'm going to go buy a fiber supplement or I'm going to eat more vegetables, but you don't also drink more water, you will get more constipated. So you definitely need to do them together. So lots of fiber, lots of water, things like a squatty potty, which is a poop stool, you know, where you put your feet up when you go to the bathroom, it puts you in a better anatomical position. These things are all really helpful. Working on the microbiome or any foods that you could be eating that might be impacting you, like dairy is a common constipator for a lot of people. Like, again, you can, if you feel overwhelmed, I have courses on all of this inside of my membership, but you need to make sure you're pooping first and foremost. The next is to make sure you're peeing. That's really easy. Just drink water. That's pretty basic. The other organ of elimination is sweating. And this is another one that is tricky because, again, if you are doing this before pregnancy, just remember, if you are not using protection, you are trying, basically. Like, let's just put that out there. If you're not actively protecting during the fertile window, you could be pregnant any month.
Any moment.
So from ovulation until your next period and or a pregnancy test, even if you're not in your mind trying, if you are not preventing, you are trying. So that is where I would say you do not want to be in a sauna or a really hot bath to induce sweating from ovulation onward. If you aren't having sex around your fertile window or you're using condoms around then or you track your cycle really well, then you would be fine to sauna or do hot bath the whole month. That's totally fine. No more than, you know, three times a week. Lots of electrolytes, hydration to make sure you replenish yourself. But getting a good sweat on is a beautiful way to reduce some toxins. Not every toxin is excreted through sweat, but many are. Things like BPA and some phthalates, heavy metals, these do come out through sweat. So that is a wonderful avenue. Some people ask, like, can I just exercise really hard and sweat? Totally. I mean, if you are able to do that, I cannot sweat that much. I mean, the minute I am exposed to any level of not very, very hot air, it dries up for me. Like, I'm a cold person. So, but yeah, any sweating is great. The heat of a sauna or a hot bath is even better. But again, being mindful. And then if your partner is also preparing for pregnancy, keeping in mind that sauna is wonderful for him, but that heat will negatively impact his sperm, and it takes about 72 to 90 days for that sperm to be remade. So again, this is where detox and pregnancy gets complicated. You need to have a timeline of, okay, we're going to spend 3 months detoxing and then 3 months of not doing that. So we're going to start trying in 6 months. That's the dream situation. 3 months of heavy sauna for both of you, heavy detox herbs, you know, really pushing things in a beautiful way once you open the organs of elimination. But then you give yourself 3 months, or especially him, to not be in the sauna and not be doing, you know, a lot of heat exposure to build up that round of sperm, so that, you know, 3 months after, his sperm has not been heat shocked.
Yeah.
This is where the timeline of trying to conceive can be really tricky, and why when you work with a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine doctor, it can feel frustrating at times, because things take time. This is why telling women early on, as soon as they get married, as soon as they are in a committed relationship, these are the things that we should be thinking about, because then everything's good to go by the time you're actually ready. It's like, how do we do this? If all of you can like think of some ways to get these women to know that this is important. So
yeah,
that's just an important piece. A woman can absolutely go in the sauna during her follicular phase. It's just, you know, if you are actively trying, not ideal afterwards, but a man needs to stop 3 months before the sauna. He can do other sorts of detox, but just not the sauna. So basically, you're pooping and peeing and sweating, breathing. I mean, yes, you could do some deep breathing. If you're just living your life, you're breathing. So for the most part, that doesn't really change. You could do some breathing exercises, but I'm not going to say that that's going to move the needle primarily. So then we get into a helper of the organs of elimination, which is the lymph system. The lymph system is a bunch of different vessels that carry lymph. You can think of it like trash. Like a trash in New York. This is my analogy for the lymph. Is our body takes the trash out, right? It gets rid of the gunk and puts it in the lymph. And it's assuming that the trash pickup is coming to take the trash out. The lymph system is supposed to be moving that along. Did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, if you've ever been to New York, I've only been once, but I was blown away at the amount of trash bags that just sit on the side of the sidewalk.
I know. It's crazy. So if anyone's been to New York, it's not like I live there, but I was there once and I was like, this is the analogy that popped in my mind. You can just imagine like the big bags of trash that build up on the sidewalk, and you're imagining that a truck is going to come and take them away. That is your lymph system. It is supposed to take the gunk away and put them where they need to go to get them to the trains, the poop trains, the pee trains, to get them out of the body. But if you are not moving your body physically, like your muscles in your
body. Like walking around.
Yeah.
Literally around. Moving.
And people are like, oh, I move. I take my dog on a walk once a day. I'm like, okay. So you move for like 30 minutes out of 24 hours. Like that's not a lot of movement. I'm totally guilty of it. I have days where I'm sitting at my computer or standing at my computer desk for like 5 or 6 hours. And, you know, it's a lot. Like there's no movement. That's not good. I know it's not good. So we do have things in our modern world that are, I'm not going to call them necessary, because we could just get up and move our bodies, you know? But if you work in an environment where you literally can't, things like dry brushing. So at nighttime before you go to bed, you can dry brush. There are amazing videos on YouTube learning how to do that. It's basically a brush that moves the lymph. You can get a vibration plate. I got a vibration plate and I love it. It's awesome.
I love my vibration plate. I can't use it pregnant, but I freaking love that thing.
Yeah, it's great, but you don't have to spend money. But again, like I got a vibration plate because I know that the choices that I've made in my life make it so that I cannot be moving my body all day. If I had a different profession where I was literally moving all day long, that would be different. And so I have to make different choices to support myself, knowing that that's the case. Either way, some way or another, whether you're doing it physically with a brush or a vibration plate, or you're physically moving your body, walking, exercising, moving, if that is not happening, the lymph does not move, which means you have a trash buildup in New York City and it is not good. This is why breast cancer is so common, because the lymph system is so integrated into the breast tissue. And in particular, it dumps right behind the breast. And so lymph stagnation in relation to breast cancer is so, so big. But just lymph in general, we can see that if anyone has kind of like swollen areas under their chin, or even a double chin, or they kind of have varicose veinsy type looks, or cellulite, these kind of things can be signs that your lymph is kind of stuck and stagnant and needs some more movement. And that's really key. So we need to be able to get the trash where it needs to go, right? So that's another piece.
Let me say something about that really quick. So just so everybody knows, your arteries that pump blood from your heart to the rest of your body have smooth muscle around them that push it so that it goes to the places that it needs to go. And then your venous return that is now not oxygenated, that's coming back to your heart, it doesn't have that smooth muscle, but they have these valves that make sure that the blood is just going like one way, mm-hmm. or it should just go one way. And lymph doesn't have any of that. So lymphatic movement of cells, like the immune cells when you get sick, or yeah, the detoxification of gross junk stuff, you know, like these immune cells still are, they're called macrophages, and they'll go around and they basically like eat, they're like the trash cans. Yeah. They eat up all this stuff, but they can't get to the places unless you are literally having the muscle contraction of like walking and your calves pushing and every contraction of your calves and your quads and your glutes, any of that surrounding tissue, and then gravity, and then the bouncing, and mm-hmm. this back to like the breast too. Like, it is really important to have no bra days, mm-hmm. or as few of bra time as you can, so that there can be this like swinging and movement of the breast because of all that lymphatic there, because otherwise it literally has no way to move it. It depends upon pendulum swing, gravity, being pushed. This is why when you go get a massage, sometimes if you have a lot of gunk in your lymph, you can feel really sick and terrible afterwards, because yeah. it's moving it all around. And then now you're like, oh my God, because it hasn't really been able to get out. And there's probably too much in your sink mm-hmm. Than for what your drain is dealing with. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, like, that's why, like, it literally will not go anywhere if you don't move.
It's kind of a weird design, but we were designed to be moving all of the time. And yes. so the other thing you said, jumping, like a rebounder or a trampoline, is another wonderful lymph movement. And that's also good for just exercise in general. So that's a win-win. Same with the vibration plate. I feel like of all the like hacks, I just did a hack series on Instagram and I forgot to put that one on there. But I do think if you're like,
what
I spend money on? Some of them are maybe not necessarily necessary, but I do think either a rebounder or a vibration plate are wonderful. So,
The people who do like a workout, like a little workout on the vibration plate, because of the way that it's destabilizing your muscles, your muscles are having to contract and release and contract and release and like stabilize you on it. So if you're doing like a little weight routine or squats or something like that on it, they say that it is like way more effective in a shorter amount of time because of the muscle engagement you're getting, in addition to then, of course, the vibration.
Yeah. So I think it's a wonderful thing. And then the other fun little just tidbit to note is, you know, have your partner do breast massages on you.
Love that.
It's crazy to me that we go get massages, and I understand, you know, why it feels like that would be weird for a stranger to do, to rub your breasts or your belly. It's so funny. I had an Asian massage therapist for a long time, and she was from China, and she always asked me if I wanted my belly rubbed during massage. And I was like, yeah, totally. She's like, in the United States, she was so cute. She had like a really strong Chinese accent. She's like, in the United States, like, people don't rub their bellies. And I'm like, yeah, what is that? That's a big part of like all of a lot of lymph is actually in our
yes.
abdomen. And why do we not put like include that in the massage? But then the breasts as well are never included usually in, you know, massages with people who are maybe not your intimate partner. Yet that's the part that needs it the most. And my husband and I had gotten into a stent because I had really bad fibrocystic breasts, so lots of dense breast tissue. And I can't even tell you guys how this changed my life. Doing lymphatic, so it's called electrolymphatic drainage. You can get them at different clinics and stuff. It kind of feels like a little electric shock, but it's not painful. But it helps to move the lymph on a deeper level. And one or two sessions of that paired with getting enough iodine completely cured my fibrocystic breasts. It's insane.
Wow.
And I had a couple patients do it, and they had the exact same outcome. So if you're dealing with really dense breast tissue, try that. Enough iodine and also the electrolymphatic drainage, and or just have your partner do breast massages on you, because a lot of that is because there's lymph stagnation and you need to move it. It's just really powerful. So that's that. So basically, we want to support the trash pickup, right? We're going to also put the trash on the poop train. So the knives are coming to the poop train, The trash is coming to the poop train. So first and foremost, we need the trains running. Then we need the trash pickup to be coming through New York City to get the bags of trash. That's the lymph movement. And then now we are going to be talking about the actual knife factory that is boxing up the knives. Okay. This is the liver.
Oh.
And
okay. I was like, what could that be? What are we talking about? Possibly be?
Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? This is why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight by Redmond's, the real salt people. A USA-made electrolyte powder with unrefined sea salt, over 60 trace minerals, plus bioavailable forms of potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These minerals support hormones, hydration, energy, and overall health. The best part is they taste delicious. I'm really picky about how things taste, and so you can rest assured this is Dr. Leah approved. I love lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan is a strawberry lemonade gal. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off your order of electrolytes, real sea salt, natural toothpaste, and so much more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Happy hydrating on your womanhood and fertility journey. So what happens in the liver is that there are two phases. The first phase is funny because it actually makes the toxin more toxic. So the analogy that I use here is you have a piece of metal and you make it into the knife. Okay, so for a moment in time, the new thing is more dangerous than the original thing. It was a piece of metal, now it is a knife. It is much more dangerous. And then the next phase, phase two, puts that knife in a box. Now it's safe again. Okay, so we have a piece of metal, and now we have a knife. And then we have a box with a knife in it. And what is tricky about liver detox is that we actually, everything starts backwards. We want the poop train to be going first before we encourage lymph movement. We want the poop train and the pee train to be going first before we encourage knife shipments to the train, right? But we also actually want tons of boxes to be available before we make a lot of knives, because otherwise, if we push phase one detox before supporting phase two, we can actually do a lot more harm than benefit, because it's basically like making a bunch of knives, there's no boxes, and we're shipping them out without a box around them. Like, you can imagine how messy that would get. We do not want a lot of phase one toxins in our system. So we definitely want to support phase two. Interestingly, a lot of things that support phase two also support phase one and vice versa, but some big ones to focus on are the cruciferous vegetables. So if you're starting a detox practice, I'm a huge fan of bringing in cruciferous vegetables into your daily or at least many times a week routine. Cruciferous vegetables are things like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, bok choy, kohlrabi, Brussels sprouts, broccoli sprouts. Broccoli sprouts are wonderful. So any kale, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if kohlrabi is in that, actually. Kohlrabi might not be in that family.
Is kohlrabi that kind of like broccoli? Oh, no, that's a Romanesco. Never mind.
Yeah, that might not be in it. I might have misspoke on that. But anyways, you can look them up yourself. But I'm pretty sure I got all of the others, and there might be a few that I'm missing. Just integrating those into your life, because they contain nutrients, in particular things like DIM, that really help with supporting detox in general. This is what's also tricky, is that there are certain chemicals and toxins themselves that push phase one detox. Things like, I'm pretty sure if I'm thinking off the top of my head, which I know I should have prepped for this, but like car exhaust, I'm pretty sure is one. Like, there's chemicals in car exhaust and, or not car exhaust, like gasoline itself that pushes phase one. And like paint fumes, and there's a category of chemicals that will push phase one. And so when people feel like really sick after being exposed to like gasoline or anything that has to do with cars, it is partly because those themselves are chemicals, but also they're pushing you to make more knives. They're pushing your body to make the toxins that are already in your system even more toxic.
Oh, so great.
It's like a whammy. I know. It's like so tricky. So, I have all of this in my course inside of Womanhood Wellness, and I should have like prepped to know every single thing, but it's like, how do you know that? But if you guys are interested, you can dive deeper into that to just understand and know. So moral of the story is we want to support phase two and then phase one, but many of the things do both. So how else can we support the liver? Like, how can we make this processing of the toxins in the best way so that we put all the knives in the boxes so that they're ready for the poop train? There are certain herbs like dandelion. Dandelion root, literally the dandelions that people blow, you know, when they're dry, that are so fun. But then you realize, wow, I just spread dandelion seed all over my neighbor's yard. I'm so sorry. You know, that is very, very good for supporting your liver and supporting that elimination process. Burdock is another beautiful herb, especially when there's a skin component. Anytime I see a patient who I suspect has a full sink and maybe has acne or pallor skin or just unhealthy looking skin, I'm often thinking burdock because it helps not only with the liver, but also with the skin, because our body tries to get stuff out of the skin, right? So sweating is one of those ways. Our skin is one of our biggest organs of elimination. And if your body is struggling either to get stuff out or you have a high toxic burden, it can often show up in the skin, which is why people often feel like so pretty and nice after detoxing, like in a sauna or in a hot bath or, you know, eating really clean for a while. They're like, oh my gosh, my skin. It's like, yeah, I know, because your skin is an organ of elimination.
Yes. And this is something too with like teens going through puberty and getting acne and things, that there's a lot that we can do to help support them, because as these hormones are changing and increasing, and then typically teens don't live the greatest lifestyles and their drains are poor. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of toxic input with, you know, diet and Axe body spray and alcohol and whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, their livers can only take so much, and there's so much rapid change with the hormones, which the liver is also trying to process. And so this is an area where we can do a lot of good and help with these sort of supportive herbs or mm-hmm. nutraceuticals specifically in that time. I'm excited to learn more about that, because I don't exactly know a protocol for, you know, like teen stuff, teen pregnancies, teen acne things. I think it's like a little bit of a dynamic time. It's not really like an adult. Got to learn more about that before it happens to our kids. But yeah, there is things that can be done, is my point.
100%. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because just like I mentioned that we make internal toxins, a toxin is not always a bad thing. And I don't even want to call it, I mean, it's necessarily toxins, but just things that we have to get rid of. Hormones are a huge part of that. Our body has to package up, process our hormones, and get them out as well on the poop train. And so absolutely, in teenage times, there's puberty, so there's surges of hormones. And if you pair that with an unhealthy lifestyle, like you said, I mean, when I was in high school, we would eat pizza or Taco Bell or McDonald's or something like that every day for lunch. And I, you know, would spray myself with all sorts of Bath and Body Works stuff. Like, no wonder I had migraines and had all, you know, it was terrible. And I had so many symptoms of estrogen dominance, because I know genetically, I've tested my genetics, that I have a harder time with my drain, especially in relation to estrogen. And so these are things you can also dive into and look into if that's interesting to you. But at the end of the day, your body's also trying to get rid of hormones on top of all of these other toxins and chemicals. And so it all goes together. But the best news is that when you open up your organs of elimination and when you support your lymph and your liver, you're helping hormones, you're helping toxins, you're helping everything. Like, everything wins, because it's all going on in the same paths for the most part. So another thing is milk thistle, and there's different nuances with herbs. Things like dandelion and artichoke, I'm thinking, help more with the actual detoxing process. Something like milk thistle actually protects your liver. It's more of a protector, because your liver can be damaged. So the liver is the factory, right? It's trying to make the knives and package them up, but it can also be blown up. You know, like, the knife factory could be like blown up by
set on random fire, arson.
Yeah, some fire. And so it's like milk thistle's sort of like keeping the factory safe, you know? It's like fixing the factory. And this is why you know, people who drink a lot or take a lot of ibuprofen or other NSAIDs, they can have liver damage. What is tricky is a lot of people will think, oh, well, I did some blood tests and my liver looks good, so I must not be toxic. And that is just not true, because liver enzymes, which are often checked on blood work, basic routine blood work, actually, that you would get with your normal doctor, if you can believe that. They do look at the damage of your liver, but that is only if the cells of your liver themselves are being destroyed. That does not tell you your toxic load. You can do testing to see in urine levels of heavy metals, environmental toxins, chemicals, plastics, things like herbicides, pesticides. You can do that if you want to order something like that. I do have that as an option inside of my membership, or you can work with a doctor to order that. It's more of a functional medicine test. A normal, regular doctor would not usually order that. They might do heavy metal testing in blood, which is fine to see like acute exposure, but for the most part, most doctors are not testing for toxins, but you can if you want to see what your levels are. But regardless of testing or not, any of these things are going to help your load.
Yeah.
So artichoke is another beautiful herb. It's also very, very helpful for fertility. Sassandra is a great one. The next little category that I want to talk about is your bile. As lovely as that sounds. Another aspect of detoxing is your digestion, if you can believe it. So the way that your body works is when we eat fatty things, we have to break them down. And the way that our body does it is it puts them in this little part of our body, and then there's these like salt things that kind of break it apart. They're called bile salts. And that is kind of how we break big chunks of fat into smaller chunks. So imagine a big block of cheese broken into tiny little pieces of cheese. They're easier for our body to digest, and bile plays a big role in that. Your gallbladder is the part that makes that and does a lot of that. If that process is stuck, again, think trash on the side of the road in New York. Think, you know, the poop train is backed up. Like anything that's backed up and not moving is going to cause problems. We see this with bile as well. We would call this a quote-unquote sluggish gallbladder. I don't know if like the conventional world has a name for that. Unfortunately, if people are having gallbladder issues, a lot of times they're put into surgery and they just remove it, which is a shame in my opinion, as there's so much that we can do from a natural perspective to help the gallbladder without having to remove it, because once you remove it, you can't take it back. And so things like bitter herbs are so amazing for bile movement and for digestion and detox in general. Things like gentian. Gentian is one of my favorite herbs. I would make tinctures for my patients when I had a physical practice, and gentian was in almost every blend unless you were pregnant.
It's so gross, though. It's so hard.
It's not gross. It is bitter. There is a difference.
So bitter.
Vomit is gross.
What is gross, you said?
Vomit. Vomit is gross.
Yeah, you're right. It's not gross. It's just so intense. It's like,
But you don't need a lot. Like a teeny tiny amount. You don't need a lot. Most blends, like if you were going to take – I love herbal tinctures. And when I did mostly women's health and not just fertility, I made herbal tinctures all the time. Once you're in fertility, it's tricky, because when you're in the trying to conceive time, it's just harder to take any of these herbs. You just don't take them because you don't take bitters, you don't take detox herbs, and you don't want to really be taking a lot of alcohol, which is usually the base that these tinctures are in. But if you are in the season of preconception before, getting an herbal tincture with some of these herbs and bitter, a really good kind of pre-made one is liver sauce by Quiksilver. We'll put the link to our full scripts on here. We should probably be always doing that, because you guys can get discounts if you're looking for supplements. But
liver sauce is awesome. That was a main part of my Lyme protocol with, well, I guess it was phase one. It was sort of for the mold, actually.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Liver sauce is good. There's other bitter herbs and tinctures too. But basically those help to move the gallbladder, or the bile in the gallbladder, which is a big part of processing fat-soluble toxins. Again, if they get stuck, it backs up. So that is just another part of the poop train, if you can imagine, but it's a big, important part, and a part that a lot of people don't focus on, and that gets missed. So speaking of helping with blood flow and movement, I really love castor oil packs as well. I get asked this a lot. This can be another beautiful part of a detox process. And castor oil is something that you put externally. You do not drink it, especially if you're pregnant, unless you know, you're trying to go into labor. But it is something that you would put on a cloth. You know, you can do a castor oil pack. You can look up what that means. But I'm really lazy. I just put it on my skin and then put a towel and a heating pad over. I'm sure the castor oil people who are really into it are like, this is sacrilegious. What are you doing? But typically you soak a linen cloth with the castor oil and then put that on over your liver. You can do it over your liver, which is on the right side under your ribs, or you can do it over your whole abdomen. But what someone told me once is that castor oil sort of acts like a highlighter to the body, saying, come here, blood flow, come here, body, and heal. Like, it's wherever you put it is like a highlighter of like, come focus over here.
It can kind of be like hydrotherapy. That's sort of how hydrotherapy works too, is it like calls attention of blood flow to the body in certain parts.
It's how PRP works as well. If anyone's ever had PRP therapy, which is platelet-rich plasma, they like take
Or Prolo.
Prolo is just like a saline type solution that they inject in like a knee joint or something, anywhere that's not very vascular. All it does is it brings the body there. It says, come here. And so castor oil does that, but it's amazing. It increases lymph. It increases blood flow. Anywhere where blood is flowing, healing is happening and stuff is moving, right? That's the trucks that come through New York and pick up the trash. That's the train that is moving. We want movement always. Life is movement. Everything needs to be moving. So castor oil packs help with that. I would say like 3 or 4 times a week would be beautiful. But again, if you are currently trying to conceive, I would not do any castor oil pack from like ovulation onward until you for sure have a negative pregnancy test. So only, and not really during your period. So really just for the week, your follicular phase is when you can do it. If you're not actively trying, then you can do it outside of that. But that's another beautiful one. So basically at the end of the day, to refocus, I'm going to pull in one more piece of the detox, but from the physical side, we want to limit the toxins coming in, which we haven't even really talked about that, which is, you know, reducing your exposure to toxins. That's a whole topic in and of itself. And we probably have an episode on that. And if not, again, I have a course on that inside of my membership. But just being mindful of the toxins that you're bringing into your life, into your products, that's 90% of it, right? If you're slowing down the sink, the water coming in, you don't have to have an exceptional drain to get rid of it. But regardless, it's always nice to work on your drain. So this episode is about the drain and all of the pieces in that. So we want to open the organs of elimination. We want to support the lymph, the trash in New York, and we want to support the liver, the knife factory, so that the poop train, the pee train, the sweat train can all get them out of our bodies.
I love that. It reminds me.
This is literally where my brain goes when I'm creating content. I'm like, yes. And then it's even more complex, the analogy in my course, because it's about the tickets and like they're coming from the concert and there was like an angry mob that broke out.
You created a whole like Pixar movie.
There's like a whole movie in my mind, 100%, because in Blood Sugar, it's like the food delivery people and they come and then there's the Amazon drivers and it's like a whole thing. Yeah.
I think about the movie Elemental, you know, with like the water and the fire. And stuff. Yes. It's like that is the cartoon type animation that I'm viewing of this like world. But it's almost like Magic School Bus when they get small and they go inside the body, though. It's like that. It's like a blend between those two things. Yes, totally. How cool if Pixar or Disney decided to make like an educational.
You guys should, cool. Pixar, you should hire me and Dr. Morgan to create the next coolest movie you've that ever has to, seen.
Yes.
It's like Inside Out, but that's for your mind. But
yes,
for the body,
it's like Inside Out, but more about your body systems. And it would be Inside so cool. Out, I think, taught kids so much about the way that emotions work. And it was so good.
So much.
I know, me too. I was crying.
Everybody, I'm like, yes, the subconscious, you know. It's so good. I think that is a beautiful use of media, you know, to be able to portray complex ideas. Even Soul, I don't know if you've seen Soul. I have seen
like half of it. I need to watch the rest of it.
It's so great. And like to like understand the great beyond, you know, whether you call that heaven or not, like, I don't know. And just like the way that they portrayed souls and how like souls and bodies are different. Like that's how I view the world. And so it was so well done. And my daughter at such a young age could conceptualize this. Like when we went to my husband's grandpa's funeral and she understood that, you know, his body's there, but his soul is at the great beyond or in heaven or whatever. And I'm like, she like could understand it because of this movie. I'm like, this is amazing. So
that's very cool.
Okay. The last thing I'll talk about with detox is the nervous system. And the nervous system is very complex. It's sort of runs the show in so many different ways. And to when we talk about detoxing the nervous system, it's not in the same way of physical toxins that physically come in and leave, but more, I would call it energetic toxins. Our nervous system functions by electrical firings, right? So it is energy. Everything is energy. But when we talk about the nervous system, a lot of it is literally what you're exposed to. When you see an image or a picture or listen to something or see something, that is information that comes into your space. Just like mercury comes into your space. If you eat fish full of mercury or an herbicide or a pesticide, there are toxins that are not just physical. They can be more cerebral, energetic. Energetic, we could think of something like EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, things that come from our cell phones or our laptops. Those are a toxin in our body, very similarly to heavy metals or plastics. And so being aware of that, and again, if this feels very overwhelming, I have a whole course on how to reduce exposure to toxins in a way that doesn't make you crazy and that's very doable and whatever. But basically just being aware before pregnancy of like, oh, like I didn't realize that sitting in front of my computer for 8 hours a day at work was exposing me to that level of EMF toxin. And I like teach you how you can see if that's true for you and how to change it and all of that. But also social media, the news, you know, being discerning about where you are exposing yourself, like even social media. This is why I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram, because like I posted a video the other day or a slide deck and I was just in between doing tasks and I went and looked at the comments and one of the comments, you guys, like my whole body, I mean, I went into such sympathetic overdrive immediately. My heart rate raced. I had this huge drop in my gut. You know, my mind started to spiral because, you know, people are mean. People are mean in comments. And it's like, that is a nervous system toxin. That impacted me probably just as much, if not more, than the red dye in the candy, you know, that my daughter had at dance or whatever. And that sucks, you know, to have a business that you have to deal with that, because I do try to be more discerning. And it's a big reason why I don't show up as big as I probably could on social media, because I get so impacted by things like that. But, you know, just being aware of what you're being exposed to, you know, maybe choosing not to watch the news or, you know, get it secondhand from somebody else. You don't see the visual of the bombing or the child, you know, it's just like that is information in our system that is just as harmful. So
yeah, I'm a huge proponent of people in the reproductive space. And I know Sophia Pavia, who you've had on the podcast a couple of different times, talks about this a lot too, and for trying to conceive. And she just got ripped apart on social media because people were saying, you know, it's irresponsible. You have to be able to, you have to stay like informed so that you can be an advocate for people, or you can know what's going on or whatever. You can't just check out of society. Da, da, da. It's like, we're not saying to check out of society, but you don't need to be a social media warrior, or sorry, social justice warrior in the time where you're trying to get pregnant and you are pregnant. It's just, 100%. I guess you do whatever you're going to do, but just know.
But don't make other people feel shame for that.
Yeah. You for know, making a choice to protect themselves. Like,
yeah.
It's the similar thing to me where I don't tell my kids what's going on in the world. Like they have no, we don't watch the news. So unless they hear from a friend, they have no idea. Yeah, that's like great. They don't know that we're maybe going into like World War III right now. They don't know that, you know, even during COVID, they were all really little, like 5 and, you know, not even 2, but my son, I didn't like, why would I?
Yeah.
You know,
because the way that their brain develops will be completely different based on what they're bathed in and exposed to. So
right, if it's stressful or if it's not. And it's just like when you're in this short period of time and you're the grand scheme of your 85 on average years of life, you don't need to be necessarily the most informed person about all of the tragedies going on overseas or even locally. It's just like, what is your impact going to do? Honestly, sit down with yourself and get very honest. You knowing about this is going to actually do what? Because you knowing about this is actually going to stress out your nervous system and put stress on your baby or prevent you from ovulating that cycle or whatever. And you know, yourself too. Some people have a huge capacity and they are able to have really strong energetic boundaries where like they take information in and then it kind of just like goes out and it doesn't worry them or stress
Yeah, that's
them.
the sink, right? That's the sink from
Right.
energetics.
Yes.
You know?
Some people
But
have
if
good energetic sink drainage.
yes, if you are like my husband is that way. He's like, "Oh, this doesn't bother me at all." I mean, I try not to know what's going on in the world. He told me a little bit about what's going on with Iran, and I do not have a good energetic sink. Like the minute the faucet is on, I am overflowing. I am like doomsday. What is the point? We should all just die right now. What, you know, like it spirals. Like my sink, it is a very shallow sink, and the drain is teeny tiny. It's a pinhole and it is clogged. And so any tiny amount of information that comes in, I just can't. And so, but my husband has a very different sink, right? I look at him all the time. I'm like, how can you literally hear all of this, do all of this, see all of this, and you're fine, you know? And
Yeah.
that is where you can't compare to others with physical health and or with mental emotional health. It's just
100%. Yeah, I had to stop. I had to tell my husband one time. I want to say that this was maybe like 2020. No, I was pregnant. I was pregnant with Sloan, so maybe it was 2020. And he would just randomly show, he'd be like, "Look at this," and just show me his phone. And we were laying in bed, you know, I'd be like reading, and he'd be like, "Dude." And then he'd show me this picture or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it was? Oh my gosh, whatever. I won't even say it. It was somebody had like a terrible, disfiguring accident, and it was a photo of them. The person was alive still, but barely. And I was like, I can never unsee that. I was like,
No.
you have to stop showing me stuff like that. Like, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, Moses, like, you know, you don't know. I don't know. He was so like unbothered. Yeah. Sometimes stuff bothers him a lot. Like, but it just depends on what it is. Like if he sees something about a disabled child because of the way that his brother was, like he is in tears, and it doesn't mean that he can't handle it, but like it affects him emotionally. Whereas like that image did not affect him emotionally. It affected me emotionally. And then I was trying to go to sleep and I was like, what? Stop.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to put up a boundary about that and be like, please
100%.
do not.
Yeah. And then, you know, I said a thing about that similarly when a lot of the tragedy was happening, but I didn't get as much flack because I'm not as popular on Instagram, but I'm sure if I was, I would. But I agree with Sophia, and I agree that this is not the time. Like, not every person in our society is meant to be a warrior at every moment. Like, there are also the nurturers and the ones that are, you know, we don't throw young children into battle on purpose for a reason. Like, there are warriors for a reason. Doesn't mean they have to be men, they can be women too, but there are also the times of nurturing the people in our society that are building new life and fostering new life and nurturing new life and our new life, and those are not the warriors. Like,
and
don't
it's
a
a bigger impact, it's a bigger flex to the overall society to protect your little growing family unit than to be involved purposelessly.
100%. Like, yeah, what is your actual impact? You knowing what's going on while you sit in your house and just being completely destroyed by it is not changing what's happening, you know, across the world, but you being a light in your life and impacting your neighbor in a good way because you are actually in a good headspace and you can, you know, pass on kindness and be the light in the world has, yeah, like such a better net positive, in my opinion, than you needing to be deep in the trenches. And, you know, I could go into philosophical reasons as to why I think they want us all like in those trenches, and it's just a lower vibration and it's control and it's all of that. But, you know, be the light, stay up high. And so things that you can do to help support and detox that are, you know, having routine, getting outside, connection with nature, finding things that bring you joy, just turning off, you know, exposure to things. I'm not about cancel culture. I'm not all into cancel culture, but I am into stop following accounts. If like you, every time you turn on your social media, you see terrible things happening, like maybe don't follow those people because you don't need that in your space. So especially,
or if they're just giving you stress because they're lying about their lifestyle as if it's perfect and that their children never eat refined sugar and everything is hunky dory and all of whatever. Like if it feels fake and inauthentic, it probably is.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't feel that way, but you're just like annoyed, that's okay. You don't have to follow those people. I had a lot of people actually write me when I got pregnant with this fifth baby and be like, "I'm not going to follow you anymore. Like I've really enjoyed it. I don't want you to take it personally," as if I would like notice, you know, like the specific accounts dropping off. But they were just saying like, "I can't follow you if you're going to be talking about pregnancy stuff," which I get, because you know, if that's something that they're not able to get right now and they really want it, that's a way that you can protect yourself, is not constantly hearing about somebody else having the thing that you want when it's going to cause you. Sometimes people can view that still and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that when that happens to me. But sometimes we get into a headspace where it's like you look at it and that's not how you feel, and that's okay too, which is like you feel jealous or you feel angry or you feel it's unfair. So maybe it, like, you know, it goes back and forth for you, but just make your social media feed, you guys, you can literally click on the like top right button when you're watching a reel, any reel. You have to be in watching a reel. And then on the top right side, if you click on that, it will show you, it'll take you to a screen where it'll show you what your algorithm is. And
What?
you can change it.
I
You
did
can
not
be
know
like,
that.
I don't want to see. I know. I just learned this from Eliza like the other day. You can, so she
Wow.
took off any anti, for some reason, her algorithm had got given her all this like anti-aging stuff. And she was like, I don't want to see this anymore. Like it was
Oh.
making her feel insecure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can see what do you have on there, and you can add, like, if you're wanting to see more about funny animals or like
Oh my
whatever.
gosh, that's so
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. So don't, you know, you're not just like a victim to like whatever you see there. You don't have to follow these things. It is kind of a, you know, like when Charlie Kirk got shot, the amount of times that that video was being shared, and I was like, oh my, we are not meant to see stuff like this.
No. Well, and that's why I've said a whole thing because people get mad. They're like, you're not talking about the current events. You're part of the problem. And it's like, I work with women who are trying to get pregnant. I am not going to be relaying the tragedy of the world over and over again because they shouldn't be seeing it. And I'm not going to be another account that's showing it. It's like, I'm not a news anchor. I am not telling you about, you know, I'll mention a few things here and there, but I am not that person. And I'm intentionally choosing not to talk about it. I don't usually bring in like polarizing political things because it's like that just angers people, not because I'm trying to be people pleasing, but because this is a very vulnerable time, you know, when women are trying to get pregnant and this is just not the time. Not everybody. It's like when they were making every brand like take a stance. Like you have to take a stance on this. It's like I don't need my toothpaste company to tell me what their opinion is on this current event in politics. Like I do not want that, and you shouldn't be forced as a company to have to do that because most likely there are splits between your company. Like, it's just, it was so stupid. Like, I remember, like, Nita got caught up in that, and it was just like, just you do not have to answer to the whims of the crazy people that like make you take a stance. It's like, if they are so anti, like, I'm not going to buy a product unless I know exactly how you feel about every single topic that is important to me. It's just like, this is. You can't make every single thing that division. Like the division is just so like, oh, it's so toxic. That is toxic. The division of our world is toxic, and
Extremely, extremely toxic.
that is not healthy. If we talk about it from a collective standpoint, and anything that makes you pick feel like you have to pick a side, a party, an opinion or whatever, it's like a lot of things are gray. We talk about that all the time. It's like it depends, you know? Like it is toxic when people force you to do that. So like get rid of those people. It's like
Yeah, and just don't partake in it. And this is where you can learn from the boundaries episode that we just,
yes.
you know, posted and say, I'm not talking about those kinds of topics right now, or I don't want to hear about that kind of information or whatever it is to protect yourself, because it really isn't your time right now. And you can be more involved in your community, or, you know, ground level political campaigns and stuff another time. You have a lot of years left, but in this is a very sensitive, it would be like everybody would understand that we're not trying to have a political conversation when we're in the middle of giving birth, right? Like we can understand that. But now just soften and extrapolate out to this entirety. We know you guys, and I'm not saying this to freak you out, because I understand some people have very stressful lives while whilst pregnant. But we do know that, like, for instance, mothers who were pregnant during the World Trade Center attacks in 2011, their children were statistically more likely to be born with symptoms, or have symptoms and show that later on, of PTSD and stress disorders and things like that, because of the way that the mothers were impacted by that in New York at that time, which of course you would be. You know, I think about the mothers who are living through active war all around the world. It's
I
very
know.
unfortunate. It's very sad, but it's also adaptive of the body. So, like when women were pregnant during the Irish potato fa famine, those babies that made it through that were statistically more likely to have metabolic disorders, metabolic syndrome, obesity, different things like that, type 2 diabetes, because their bodies held on to calories in a different sort of way. Their metabolisms were ever changed because of the scarcity of food that their mothers experienced. So it's adaptive, because if you're growing up in the womb and you're like, oh my God, like it's a scary place out there. I got to be ready. Like I have to be ready to survive. Like I might die at any moment. My body is going to preferentially be in the sympathetic nervous system, not the parasympathetic nervous system. I'm going to be like on it, you know, but then you're now dysfunctionally responding to your environment, which maybe is not scary anymore because it's just modern society, but like you were gestated in a time, you know what I'm saying? So not, again, not to shame you, everybody has stress, but if we can know that, maybe we make different choices to not partake and not like read really deeply into stuff. Like, you know, 5 years ago, I would have known every single thing about the Epstein Files. I mean, I actually did know about the Epstein Files 5 years ago.
I know. We all did. Everyone's very late to the show.
Yeah. It's whatever. Like, welcome. Welcome to where we've all been here. Thanks, guys. But I would have, in this time, now that everything's released, I would have like really gone in because I have so many questions that I've had for the last 5 years, you know, or 6 years. And I would have known way more. And I'm just not. I'm just not doing it. This is a horrible thing, and I have to be like, I'm making a baby. Yeah. Like I can't do this right now. And I'm raising little kids, and I cannot let this affect my mood to where it affects me that I'm not sleeping and I'm really on edge and I'm not doing it. No. Yeah.
That's the job for other people. If you are with a male partner, let him be the protector. That's literally the whole point, because they don't gestate the babies. Like, there's a reason why things have been the way that they are. It's like, you do not have to be that right now at this time. Right. So giving you permission.
Anyways.
If that feels important.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. We can talk about that for a long time.
Yeah. Detoxing before pregnancy. I mean, I could go so much deeper into this. I mean, like I said, I have two courses on this, reducing toxins and actually detoxing. There's so much more to say of like, what do you actually take and all of these kind of things. So if that's interesting to you, you can check out my membership at womanhoodwellness.com, or, you know, work with a practitioner is even better. So yeah, that's what I have to say.
Thank you. Till next week.
Bye. If your heart aches for a baby, whether you're dreaming of motherhood someday or you're already on the path and it hasn't been going as you imagined, I want you to know that you do not have to do this alone. Consider joining me inside of my Womanhood Wellness membership. You get a custom blueprint unique to your woman essence type, which is where you are right now on the journey. You have access to all of my courses and content, which includes how to boost egg and sperm quality, the energetics of fertility, investigating fertility, optimizing IVF if that's a path you have to go down, navigating pregnancy loss. I have my Essential Foundations course where you learn all the things that you really need to know to have a thriving hormonal infertility system. You learn the hormone handbook, where I dive deep into all the different hormonal imbalances and what you can do naturally to rebalance them. I have deep dive courses on vaginal microbiome and detoxing, on mindset. I give you my natural medicine protocols. You have the ability to order labs on your own. You get discounts on supplements and other products. I have organized the community by your season. So if you are breaking up with birth control, you can jump in a chat with women in that exact same season. If you are trying to conceive, or if you are going through pregnancy loss or infertility or IVF or low libido, there is a group of women who are going through the same thing. We also have full community areas like our breakfast club, where every Monday we share what we're having for breakfast to inspire each other, and our daily flow, where we connect as a collective community and do challenges and learn from each other in that way. On top of all of that, I do a monthly live Q&A where you can bring your questions, and they're always recorded so you can listen if you can't make them live. And then I have various calls with other practitioners like Sadie, our amazing personal development coach, and so many others, where you will be able to receive healing and learn other perspectives. Being a member inside Womanhood Wellness also gives you discounts to join my upcoming immersions. Take around 22 women for a month to dive deep into a specific topic like decoding desire, or building your dream life, or navigating painful periods, or navigating unexplained infertility. This is the place that you want to be if you want to know all of the natural root cause and supportive measures that you can take to optimize your womanhood journey and your path to and through motherhood. Head to womanhoodwellness.com and use code podcast to save 20% off your first month. I can't wait to see you inside. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind. including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.